Hello, you're listening to Over the Oxer podcast with Tracy Cole for all things to do with the mind for equestrians. So I'm really proud to welcome today a good friend of mine, Julia McHugh, who is a master coach of NLP, master coach of timeline therapy, master coach of hypnotherapy. She's a Centre 10 advanced coach. She's a really down-to-earth mindset magician. She's got loads of other strings to her bow, but we'll get onto that in a little bit, I think. So welcome, Julia. Let's kick off with, how on earth did this all start? What was your riding journey like?
Thank you, Tracy. And what a title. I quite like Mindset Magician. I think I might use that one. So I have ridden since I was about 4 years old. I was very lucky and privileged to be in a family that my parents could afford to buy me a pony. And we were, at that point when I was 4 years old, we were a horsey family. And at one point we had 5 horses. So I learned to ride. But I remember my ponies always being naughty. And the pony that I owned called Snowy when I was quite young, probably more like 6 or 7, remember having the pony wear a crupper, which were quite popular in those days because you've got your typical Thirlwell kind of ponies. Because her saddle, she used to put her head down to eat grass and her saddle just went over her head and I went plop on the floor. So that's probably one of my earliest memories of riding. So I now realise that I took that fear, that ingrained fear that horse would put his head down or do something and I'd just plop off. Never really hurt myself, but it was like, wasn't much fun. So I carried on riding. I rode my brother's crazy Hunter, an ex-trotting horse that was absolutely mad as a box of frogs, but then so was my brother. He's riding. His idea of fun was to go out hastening to our drag hunting once a week and didn't really want to put any other work in. So I had some fun, but I also had some broken bones with that one. I rode my dad's horse, a lovely Cleveland Bay Cross. He was my cup of tea because he was so laid back. He didn't want to jump. He was never going to be a jumper. He was okay at dressage and he was really safe. So that was that. I then had a break from, there was various other ponies along the way, but I had a break when I went off to college. And that break was only probably for a year because I gave up on college. It wasn't for me. I went to do applied chemistry and it was like, no, that's not what I want to do. So I then met my husband, my current husband, Eric, and said to him, I've got a secret that I need to tell you about. I've got a secret passion and my love with horses. So I started riding again. And then I bought my own first horse, which was a Bay 7/8 Thoroughbred. I had a wonderful journey with her. She was called Sherry, but she was very accident prone and ended up, she went as a broodmare. With hindsight, probably shouldn't have done because she wasn't the best conformation, but at that time I didn't know better. New owners became very good friends. I then bought my horse of a lifetime, my white diamond, and I'll try not to cry because he really was a horse of a lifetime and taught me so much about me. So it was the start of learning to understand horses and horsemanship, and wasn't about just me training him to do what I wanted to do. Started to understand that he was a super talented Irish horse with a heart of, you know, a big heart. But things started to go wrong. I wanted to event. I've got it in my head. I want to event. I want to do British, as it was then, BHTA, British Horse Trials Association, before BE. And quite stubborn, quite driven, quite determined in what I want to do. But it started to go a bit pear-shaped because we started stops on the cross-country. I discovered I hated show jumping. It's like, I love cross-country. You know, I mean, what's all that about? Solid fences versus ones you can knock down. But I love the big solid hedges, walls, everything. I did have a hang-up about ditches and probably still do to this day. Don't really know where that come from. That's a conversation for another day, maybe. So I started to learn about you know, the language of the horse and what their needs are and what they need from me as a rider and a leader to get the best results. So I also discovered that actually competing was not my forte, wasn't what, you know, didn't align with my values. And I got so much pleasure out of training my horse. And because he was so talented, I handed the reins over to one of my trainers, who's Michael Cooper, who was just amazing. And the pictures I've got him riding my horse with great big trainers and me going, he doesn't like trainers. No. But my enjoyment from training him 6 days a week, the horse, not Michael, training the horse 6 days a week, going over the Lancashire Moors up at Moor Milne Road, getting him fit, was just like, that was the reward. So we had lots of journeys. We went from eventing, we then took up side saddle, and then we did trek, which is a three-phased sport, which includes orienteering on horseback. And I used to laugh, thinking, when I put my Jake in the wagon, he's like, are we going around the cross country, or are we going to be wearing a dress, or are we performing a compass? You know, it's like, what are we doing today? But bless him, he just turned his hoof to anything. So had lots of fun. Did have a serious accident where I fractured my ankle in 2010 with Jake. And that was a real turning point of really need to understand what it is, why you're frightened, why you want to run away, and all that stuff. So my horsemanship journey started around 2011. 2016 was really where I started kind of a life crisis. I started to get curious about neurolinguistic programming and trained to be a NLP coach, practitioner, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapist. And it was a life-changing moment. I don't think I realized how much it would change my life, or more the impact that it would have on relationships, because I became a more, shall I say, truer to myself person. So I was more content. But obviously that has impacts on people around you, your friends, your family, your workplace. So that was quite challenging, that I'd not expected. But I was on this journey and loved it and determined to carry on. So in parallel with that, I started organising rider camps for Trek specifically in about 2002. So when to 2016, I thought, well, actually, this could be, you know, a little business that would, you know, I could take into my retirement and would keep me happy and bring a little bit of money in. So that business has grown. And now it has become rider retreats, predominantly Trek riders, but I do other rider retreats, which are maybe horsemanship, pole work, rider body mechanics. So they all involve a ridden aspect, and they all tend to have some mindset coaching, sports performance coaching, whether that's in groups or one-to-one. So that has grown over the years and is really successful now. So in 2020, quite a significant year really, because I lost my horse of a lifetime, dear Jake, at 30, I think it was 31. So it was not unexpected. And I was quite surprised how well I cope with it. And I put a lot of that down to the work that I do with NLP and work with yourself. And because he was of an age that, you know, I kind of, with no disrespect, how much longer is he going to last? Yeah. and everything. And I also did my master NLP, hypnotherapy, timeline therapy with you in 2020. We did it in two parts, didn't we? So there was I can't remember the gap in between, but we did both.
Yeah. I think both. we were forced onto Zoom, weren't we, for the first bit for the
right. Yeah.
And then we were just at that point where you could have, was it like six people or something like that in a room? And we were just about okay to do it face to face.
So yeah, that I
was
remember.
Really good.
Yeah, that's right. The good old COVID days. So 2020 was a turning point for me in my business, because the advent of good old COVID gave us the opportunity to do coaching by Zoom or Teams or whatever it might be, and for it to become acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, before then, it wasn't a thing really, was it? You know, you thought of coaching and you'd go to someone's house and you'd sit in a cozy little room, and that's what coaching entailed. So it gave me the opportunity to start doing coaching more seriously. And also doing master NLP, hypnotherapy, blah, 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 gave me the confidence that I could freestyle a bit more, because I'm a bit of a rebel. I'm recently kind of discovered that I'm actually quite neurodivergent. And, you know, going back to one of your things you said to me many years ago, Julia doesn't think outside the box. There is no box. And that's absolutely true. So becoming a master of NLP, hypnotherapy and timeline therapy gave me that freedom. I'd had 4 years to practice the techniques so that I was familiar with them, but then gave me the freedom to blend, to think on the fly and to change. I found myself so many times creating a plan for a coaching session and it went out of the window because, you know,
yeah,
I dealt with what was in front of me, and being, again, I say being neurodivergent gave me a buzz to actually be put on the spot and deal with it, rather than being, oh my God, which page? I need to turn to page 62 because it's something different. It was like, So quite liberating. So yeah, that's kind of that's whistle stop to how I got here in my world.
I remember the first time that I met you, and it was on one of your camps, one of your retreats. It was over in Shropshire, near where you were living at the time. And I was there to sort of deliver some mindset sessions, and we'd set up and I'd gone through various mindset bits and bobs. And I can't remember whether it was the first day or the second day that you turned to me and you said, "Do you know what? I'm actually qualified in NLP." And my jaw dropped. I was like, "Really? Why aren't you doing this? Why am I doing it?" And I thought that was really, really kind of insightful. It's part of your character that you have taken things slowly, haven't you? You did your NLP in 2016, and then you kind of honed your skills. You got to a point where you were really happy with what you were doing, and then you moved to master track. And I think that's really nice that you've done that considered thing. But then that almost has allowed you massive flexibility in your thinking towards, like, exactly what you said about your sessions. Your sessions are, let's not have a plan. The plan is, let's not plan. I love that about you. And you also, I know that you take conventional techniques and you make them into something else. Like, you've been talking about doing your hypno art stuff. Can you tell us a bit about that? Because I think that's fascinating.
Oh gosh, I've got goosebumps all over. because hypno art started. I mean, it isn't a thing, I don't think. I've done some research and I can find automatic writing as a hypnotherapy technique. I can find hypnotic art from artists that go into trance to create their art, which is kind of where my thinking came from. Of like, if a client goes into a mild state of trance, you know, they can then release it. So I kind of explored it on my breakthrough days. I actually do face to face, and they have been really successful. And I always have a big roll of brown paper and sticky notes. That's how it started. And I somehow must have had on the first one I did some coloured pens.
Yeah.
And I was coaching somebody who wasn't going into what you'd call your typical traditional state of trance for hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
So instead of thinking, oh my God, it's not working, what am I going to do? Panic. I'm like, carry on. Something will come to you and you'll work it out. So I just started, you know, it was more like a conversation,
yeah,
which you know, hypnotherapy can be. So we was talking. So we started talking and we were talking about goals and dreams and plans. So I said, can you draw what you're thinking? And that's how it all started, because then it just opened up from this professional lady who was very, you know, structured and everything's got to be in order and everything. And to go to a place where you just dream what it could be like was very alien. So getting into that semi-state of trance allowed her to put it on paper.
Mm.
So that's how it started. And then I discovered a couple of my riding friends who are artists. So I said, I've got this thing. Can I just practice with you? I'm totally blown away. Totally blown away. I mean, one of them, pencil case full of coloured pens, and I'll say accidentally had a pencil in there. It's not deliberately a pencil in there, because one lady picked the pencil and I'm going, oh, where's this going to go now? What's pencil? And she drew sort of lots of zigzag lines all over. She was quite deep in trance, to be honest. And she had her eyes closed and you could see the pen moving. A bit like a Ouija board, if I'm honest. and I'm looking at the picture going, well, that doesn't mean anything to me, but that doesn't matter because it's not my, you know, it's not my picture. So when she came out of the hypnotherapy, she looked at it and went, wow. And she went, oh my God, I know what every line on there means. And I went, going, great. You know, great. So we then had the conversation. So, you know, a pencil and a load of lines and significance. And then the next one that I did with a friend who's an artist, quite different, and it was at one of my ride retreats. She brought her watercolours.
Yeah.
So she got her watercolours out and we did. And I said to her, and I felt that she was painting very deliberately.
Yeah. So yeah.
I said to her, right, I want you to pick up another paintbrush in your other hand, your non-dominant hand, and I want you to paint together, the two brushes together, which really, like, you know, it kind of breaks into that unconscious then, doesn't it? Because you're thinking differently. And that was just amazing. And again, another fabulous session. And then the most recent one, yesterday with a group of coaches in work. So I'd never done this in a group situation, never done it by remote Teams, Zoom kind of thing. I was not really expecting people to fully embrace it.
I was going to say that because they're not traditionally, because people who come to you for a session or they come for hypnosis, that's what they're expecting, isn't it? Of course. If you're just landed and plonked in the situation, right, go and coach these coaches are going to be like, well, I know what to do and I know how to coach. So you're up against it before you've opened your mouth. So how did they think of it? What did they?
Yeah. So I do my, you know, and again, a bit of reflection of like, okay, Julia, stop going into things expecting it to be negative, as in, you know, people will turn up curiosity and won't participate. So there was a decent amount of people there. And I said, you know, if you've got a pen, pencil, colours, whatever. So I didn't know what people had got. And I thought, just go with it. And I got into the flow. I love to stay in flow. Got into the flow and just, I was in my element, just delivering what I loved doing. And went through everything. I'd refined. It really helped me because I refined kind of the script for getting most out of this hypnotic art or hypno art. And at the end, when they showed me the paintings, I was like completely blown away. The comments of like the light bulb moments and what it meant to them, and they were sharing it openly. You know, it wasn't from this place of like it's a bit woo, so you know they might not want to talk about it. They were openly getting excited about it and understanding what it meant to them. And even somebody, again, a pencil drawing, going, I don't know what it means. And then coming back in the later in the day, just going, I just had the light bulb moment. I know what it means. And it's like, wow. So, you know, that's kind of this week, which has really, really excited me and motivated me to do more of that.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're really onto something then, especially like you say, like your first client who couldn't relax enough to go into the hypnosis. And it's really useful, isn't it, that you can use it like that, but also you're using it as a massive connection, a really deep connection with somebody's mind, and then they interpret it. So in a way, they're doing all the work for you as well.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I think you're really onto something there. Yeah. You know, if somebody had a problem or somebody was in a stuck state of some description, even like riding, you know, where do I go from here? And you mentioned before about how you change focus. You thought you wanted to compete. You thought you wanted to event. Mm-hmm. And then you had that realization that you didn't. But that doesn't always happen for people, does it? They don't always see that, and they doggedly keep going, and every weekend is taken up with competing, but they don't actually want to do it.
I mean,
you find that in your practice as well?
Yeah, I think it was definitely a momentous event for me to have that realization. And I guess only because I'd done, you know, the practitioner and all the training, that I kind of accepted it. And it was kind of a huge relief.
Yeah.
You know, it took pressure off. I do feel sometimes that's, you know, when you're doing that exploratory with a client, that is getting to, you know, what is holding on? Why are you holding on to this fear? Why is it not fulfilling? Why are you not enjoying it? Why do you keep having accidents? You know, do these things happen? But it's quite a long process. It's not just a quick fix and a light bulb. It's not just one technique. It is quite a long process. Mm-hmm. Either, you know, like you do, the full breakthrough day where you get to the end of the day and there's suddenly that light bulb moment, or the series of coaching sessions that you keep working, because you do have to work hard. You know, I could have just dug my head in the sand and gone, I want to compete. I want to do eventing.
Yeah.
I've got this thing. I wanted to do eventing. But it wasn't until I listened to my unconscious that training in bent horse was what I wanted to do and that would fulfill me. So I think then with clients, they hang on to what's safe. Not as clients, as humans, we hang on to what's safe, even if it's not fulfilling us. That fear of change and fear. And what will people think? You know, I remember some people saying to me, what are you letting somebody else ride your horse for? Right, because I get great pleasure out of it.
Yeah.
Well, not everyone could cope with that, because that feeling of people pleasing and doing what everyone else does and what you feel you should do. So it's all those things that wrap up into that. So, yeah, it's quite a journey to get there and have such a big realization. It's quite a big thing, isn't it, to decide you don't want to compete.
Yeah, but I like the fact that you continued training. It wasn't that you gave up riding. You were doing the hard work in a way. And I don't know whether, you know, people would say that, but I think you put in all the groundwork. Then somebody comes along and takes the horse that's been schooled. If your horse hadn't been schooled enough or properly or whatever, the results wouldn't have been so good. It would have been very difficult. You know, a professional rider would have got Jake around, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps it would have been a little bit more coerced and forced rather than natural.
Yeah. And I think looking back at that time, so it must have been around 2000, sort of 1999, 2000. What I didn't realise then was how much, originally I wasn't listening to my gut feeling, intuition. And then when I did, like, literally hand over the reins to somebody else, then that relief. But at that point, I knew nothing about NLP. I knew nothing about, you know, how your body's connected to your mind, your heart, you know, your good old saying, the gut feeling.
Yeah.
You know, your head, your heart, and your gut feeling. I knew nothing about that really, but I just knew that I felt more content doing what I'd chosen to do and trusting. And also, therefore, the training element with the horse was like, again, breaking conventions. You know, I did what felt right. So, again, my horsemanship journey. And why I loved that so much was because it was a lot was on feel. Does it feel right? Can I feel where my horse's feet are landing? Can I feel, you know, which hind foot is moving? Can I then move my horse with my body, without my legs, without my hands? So, you know, I suddenly was on the path that I was meant to be.
Yeah, yeah. And you started doing the horsemanship clinics and retreats and also the trek stuff as well. So tell us a little bit about your retreats, because I know you're just back from a double retreat, aren't you? Two retreats back to back in North Wales. You must be a bit exhausted after all of that. But what's it like to go on these retreats with you?
So the last one was actually in Shropshire. North Wales is the big one in September. Two different venues. I only say that because if I start thinking about North Wales, they're similar but different. So the two that I've just done, which I do every April, predominantly are trek rider retreats, because there's a great community of trek riders who now appreciate the mindset element blended with the techniques. And we have a trainer who's, or trainers rather, for the ridden and for the orienteering part of it, that are really, really tuned in people, shall we say, and really talented. So I'll ramble a little bit, but I think it is relevant. So what I didn't realize when I'd been running these camps for a number of years, and, you know, they grew and grew every year. I mean, pre-COVID, we got up to 16, 20 people at a camp that was really, I was aiming for 12, but I couldn't say no to people, so I kept squeezing them in. And now I do stick with 12 maximum to give people that attention, and to, so it's calmer and they get, you know, people get to know each other as a group. So what I didn't realise, and it was only when one of my clients said to me, that they come back year after year because they have the calmness about me helps them arrive with their horse in a calm state. And even one of the venues that I used to use in Shropshire, for the one that you came to that's very small,
yeah,
I remember a lady saying, you know, we drove onto the drive and just went, whew,
yeah,
relax.
Yeah.
You know, before they even got there, she said there was something about, I don't know what it was, but again, it is the human energy, the horse. She said, and my horse, he's not behaving like he behaves at home. He's not behaving like he is at a show or somewhere away from home. He's brilliant. You know, what's all that about?
Yeah.
Might be your horse is your mirror, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So typically, going back to the retreats are either 3 nights or 4 nights, so that's 4 days or 5 days. And they're now retreats, not advertised as camps, because they are in luxury accommodation. I'm always cautious saying luxury, because luxury means different things to different people. But you get a bedroom, you get a nice farmhouse, or you get the Grade 2 mansion in North Wales, a bit quirky. And you get a nice bed, you get nice food. So the food, the evening meal is cooked by a professional chef. So, you know, it's not a quick and ready, easy takeaway or anything like that. And then you're in an environment that's comfortable and cozy. And what I noticed particularly at this year's retreats, more and more of the like-minded people. There was what the first group were just all totally, that many of them not met each other before, but they were just chatted around the dinner table as if they'd known each other for years. So you're in that relaxed environment. You can choose stable, or your horse can have some grazing. you get, depending on which retreat it is, you get either one or two ridden sessions a day. It may include group mindset coaching, or you have the opportunity to have one-to-one with me, which just last weekend was hugely successful. So repeat clients that come back kind of for their six-monthly fix to have their session with me. New clients, worked with one lady who she described, she plateaued. She yep. got to a point, which was kind of something quite new for me. She was a rider, but she was actually a rock climber, and she plateaued. And, you know, we had one session and absolutely amazing. She came away with a smile on her face and said, "I feel like I could do anything now." So, yeah, so that's really the kind of what it entails. So there are, on the Shropshire one, there is opportunity to camp. So it's more affordable.
Yeah.
So it's cheaper if you want to do that. But, you know, people like the fact that they can go in, and we had the log fire on. It was pretty chilly, wasn't it, last weekend?
Yeah, yeah.
We had the log fire on and a few glasses of wine after dinner and lots of chat and everything. So, yeah, it's lovely.
Oh, it sounds marvellous. It sounds really lovely. And if anyone was interested in looking up your retreats, is there a certain level of horsemanship or a certain level of knowledge or ability or even mindset? Is there something that, you know, you have to have before you sign up, or can you be an absolute beginner in things?
From an experience perspective, anyone. All, I guess what I would say is to have an open mind, be, you know, have a curiosity, shall we say. So you don't have to know about horsemanship or have any experience or trek even. You know, you don't even need to know about trek. And if anybody wants to know more about trek, then they can get in touch with me or hop over to you can send or share the Facebook groups that I have. So they don't need to have experience. That's the whole thing, that it's come with curiosity and an open mind. And with regards to horses, no stallions, mares or geldings. And young horses, if you want to bring a horse and do the groundwork, that's absolutely fine. You know, well, you don't have to ride. And I'm more than happy to chat with people if they're, you know, they're curious and they think, it sounds interesting, but, you know, I don't know if it's for me or whatever. And I'll be totally honest as to whether or not, you know, it is the right for them. I feel it's right for them, I should say.
Yeah. And do you notice a difference? This is a bit of a curveball question, but do you notice the difference between the mindset, let's say, of somebody who comes on the retreats and has a mindset session compared to other people who have mindset sessions? Or do you think they're coming at it from similar angles and perspectives?
I think, so I can't generalize and say everyone, but if I think back to the recent one, there was a particular lady who hadn't pre-booked a session, who asked me, "Can you just squeeze me in?" kind of thing. And we had a really good chat first, like you would do with a discovery or an intro chat, and then she had a session with me, and boy, transformation, you know, from feeling nervous about riding and everything else, just one session there.
Yeah,
it was the good old anchoring with the purple dot. Well, part of it was with the purple dot. And not only did she stick a purple dot on the horse's bridle, she stuck it on his ear as well, her ear, the horse's ear. And it was a lovely little black pony with his purple dot. And I've got the photographs now. And yeah, and I've heard from her since, you know. And it's a journey, you know. It's not a magic button, you know, switch. It's a journey. But now she's kind of released herself to allow herself to enjoy and do the things that she wants to do with a pony and have fun.
Yeah.
So that's a really specific example. What I do notice with other people, even if they don't have a session with me, is that because they're in that environment, they're soaking up unconsciously you know, my language. I love language. I love Milton Erickson. I love hypnotherapy. So I've learned to become an even more calmer person because I used to get quite anxious and probably angry, you know, frustration. So I know I've learned to deal with that. And people often comment, you know, gosh, you're so calm. I'm not 100%, you know, nobody's perfect, but I think that really helps.
Yeah.
You know, people. And I'm thinking of another lady actually who came to this retreat, who I did, she wanted a session before arrival and she ended up booking a breakthrough day. She actually came up to Shropshire from Devon. How committed is that? That is real commitment. And I found her a lovely little Airbnb, really proper retreat. And again, you know, it's not been an easy ride by any stretch of the imagination because what she'd planned didn't actually come to fruition. She was planning on bringing a young course. It didn't come to fruition, but she was comfortable with what options she had and what decisions she made and has now got a bigger, more robust plan for her young horse that is fair to the horse and right, and she's happy with it. So you don't always get what you think you want, which you already know that.
Yeah, you get what you need at the time.
Yeah.
So you mentioned breakthroughs, and I know you do breakthrough coaching, but people may not be aware. I mean, they know, they think, oh, it's a breakthrough, but it's a bit more than that, isn't it? The name, I don't know what name you would give it, because it's not just a one-to-one for an hour, is it? How are your breakthrough sessions run?
So they're typically, I say, done in a day. However, I do much, much prefer to do them face-to-face. So I now have this Airbnb details of a gorgeous place in Shropshire, which is just perfect. And what I would recommend, so if I was to recommend to somebody, if somebody came and said, you know, I've got this problem or I want to break free from, I would recommend sort of booking for two nights. So come on the Friday, settle in, we'll have a chat and get settled in, get you comfortable. We'll do all day Saturday. So full on all whatever techniques you might need. And then Sunday before you go, just check in and check, you know, da, da, da. And then I always do a 90-day follow-up after the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Which helps. I think what clients have said is it helps them because they kind of then feel accountable.
Yeah.
It's all too easy to have that breakthrough. And then, you know, because it is only a day, then it's all too easy to slip back into old habits. So I find that that's really valuable. So that's how it works. I can do them by Zoom, but to be honest, I really like doing the face-to-face. And, you know, if come to me in Shropshire, or I'm more than happy to consider travelling to wherever you are. I've got a camper van, so hot wheels and travel. So
lovely. Yeah. Lovely. I love breakthroughs because you see the person at the start of the day, don't you? Mm. And you can see them going through the day, experiencing this momentum, isn't it? Because people often say to me, well, let's say it's 6 hours or 7 hours or however long you do. And they say, well, why don't I just book six single hours, like 6 weeks of 1 hour? And it's almost too difficult to explain. It's like, but you gather that momentum, and as you gather momentum, the client's unconscious mind starts to reveal more and more, doesn't it? That perhaps in an hour it doesn't have time to do, and then you can deal with it. Something crops up, or some light bulb, some memory, some insight. And I think that's what you get out of a breakthrough more than 6 weeks of normal coaching, which is a little bit more special, isn't it? Do you find that with your clients as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I can think of two clients in particular where the say, let's say the issue that they came with, it took half a day, you know, halfway through the day, getting into the afternoon, where there was a light bulb of going, actually, that's not the issue. I've just discovered what the real issue is. And the real issue tends to be people related, not horse related, because your horse is your mirror. Your horse is showing you that there's an issue, but it's actually the horse. Yeah. So I find that definitely with breakthrough. And I love, yeah, I love how you describe that, because I agree it's hard to describe, you know, what's different about 6 hours in one day versus 6 hours in six different sessions. And is that momentum and is that continuity and consistency and repetition, you know, that you've got for that 6-7 hours, that your mind does start to think differently. Whereas for you know, the six sessions, yes, it's really powerful, but it's for the right thing, isn't it? They're two completely different things.
I found when I do master prep training, I've been doing one-to-one recently, so as part of master prep training, one person usually pairs up with another person and they give each other a breakthrough day. And I'm not usually involved in that. That's them to show them that they can do it, but also experience a breakthrough. So on this training recently, where it was one-to-one, the girl who was becoming a master coach did breakthrough for me. So it's been a long time since I've had a breakthrough session as a client. And it was really, really powerful because, like you say, things are coming to you. It's like you're getting tired as a client, and that almost gives you permission to just rely on your unconscious mind, because your conscious mind is too tired to think at the end of the day. It's given up. It's like, whatever. So what comes to you is the deeper thoughts, and you reveal those things and they surface, and then they can get dealt with there and then. I really enjoyed my breakthrough session, and I'd sort of forgotten that tiredness, even though I know the technique, so I knew what was coming. I was still behaving like a client rather than a trainer, and it was still making me feel that kind of nice daydreamy tired. It's not exhaustion, it's just that nice kind of relaxed kind of having a massage or a spa day kind of relaxation, isn't it? And tiredness. So I think that's really nice. I really love breakthroughs. I really do. And I know that that's one thing that you do besides the retreats that you're known for as well, that little special addition to your toolkit. Well, it's been really lovely to talk to you. I know there is so much more that you do. We had a long list. So I'm going to ask you to come back again, maybe in 6 months or 12 months, and tell us more about what you're doing. And knowing you, it'll be completely different from what you're doing now. It'll be something else altogether. Last thing that I just wanted to let people know about, and it's just a little preview, is that we're going to do something together in the autumn, aren't we?
Oh, yes. I'm so excited. I've already told a few people, you know.
Oh, have you? You couldn't keep
and you know what? You know, I couldn't. Somebody asked me actually in work about where would you go for hypnotherapy training. I'm like going in your direction. But yes, do share with them.
So we are going to do an NLP practitioner training, aren't we, over in North Wales without horses.
So that Shropshire. People...
Shropshire.
Yeah.
We were doing Dougley.
That's Shropshire.
Is it?
Yeah.
See, I thought that was North Wales. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, maybe you need to tell people about it.
No, go for it. You've got the rest of it.
I thought that was in North Wales. No, but the wrong county, wrong country. But I do know about the NLP side of it. So it's the NLP practitioner training, which then gives you, I think, enough mindset tools to be able to help yourself if you want to self-coach. It's usually the point where people realize things about themselves that they're doing that are unhelpful, and how to get out of that, and how to start to plot what you want and how you're going to get it. It's over, now I'm going to say 4 or 5 days, because we have an arrival day, don't we?
And yeah, so I've got the planner on my wall, so it's from the 5th to the 11th of October.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, yeah, there's an arrival day and a departure day. And 5 full days in between.
And 5 full days of lovely mindset and NLP. So it also qualifies you to coach in NLP, should you want to do. So it's a professional qualification. I'm going to be teaching quite a bit of it, but so is Julia. Julia's going to run some sessions as well. She's going to train you as well. It's an accredited training. Perhaps you should say something about the venue, because I obviously know nothing about it.
I think you do know the venue. It's just the location of the. So the venue is a lovely old farmhouse in near Church Stretton in Shropshire. It's very easy access of the A49. So if you're travelling from anywhere in the country, up the motorway, down the motorway, onto the A49, it's really easy access. It's only not even 5 minutes up the main A road. There's beautiful riding and walking there. So if you want to go out, you know, after we've in the morning for a nice walk. There's 6 bedrooms. There's 2 ensuite bedrooms. And there's 1, I'll call it the small bedroom, which really is only suitable for 1 person. So if you do, we can have all the bedrooms either as a double set up. When I say double, some of the king and super king, or they separate into twin beds. So I think you're going to price it accordingly. I don't know whether it's obviously sharing a room would be cheaper than a sole occupancy room. So upstairs is all the bedrooms. There's a number of bathrooms, including a huge bathroom with the most. I'll send you some pictures, Tracy. The bath. So you would only be sharing the bathroom with 1 or 2 other people if you were not in the ensuite rooms. Downstairs is a traditional farmhouse kitchen and dining room. So we all eat together, huge farmhouse table. And then there's a lounge, which is kind of 2 rooms. There's kind of the front lounge with there's a log burner, which might be handy in October. And the back of the lounge, it tends to be the front of the lounge is the back of the lounge is quiet area, and the front of the lounge tends to be the not quiet. So all the chattery ones tend to loiter in the front. Don't know why, that's the way it kind of works out. There's a downstairs shower and loo. There's a library stroke games room, so like what I call a quiet room. There's a couch in there, and there's a pool table, and there's some books. I think that's all of downstairs. And lovely gardens. So, you know, October can be a really lovely month to sit outside, the table outside. You can sit and have your lunch. There's a little stream runs through the back. Very, very peaceful to go and reflect and sit out there. And it is just wonderful. The last thing, important thing, is that our professional chef will be catering for the evening meal, and breakfast will be self-service. I don't know whether we've decided what to do about lunch, Tracy. I mean, that's something we need to talk about.
Yeah,
I think to do like an included buffet kind of self-serve lunch.
Yeah, yeah. I think we were still deciding about lunch, because obviously we've not planned it in massive detail as yet, have we? But we have booked it is already. We can take bookings. work out a few fine details and things like that. I'm really looking forward to it. I think I love face to face. I'm like you. I love face to face. I found that a lot of my trainees and potential trainees wanted Zoom, so that was why I went on to Zoom. But really, really looking forward to face to face. I think that'll be absolutely wonderful, and to have that immersive experience as well. I'm not saying that we're going to be banging on about mindset 24/7, you know, it's nice to be there and to be away from work and home life and even horses, and just be, just enjoy yourself, and just learn and get to grips with everything that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part, actually, Tracy, that the course will run, you know, from whatever time it is, morning to late afternoon. And then we will switch off into human mode, if that's the right term. So it's not going to be, you're not going to be like intense over dinner talking about, necessarily talking about what you've done during the day. We can just chat about whatever it is that people want, you know, and enjoy it. And maybe a glass of wine or two with people that are there. And I think thinking back to, I did my NLP face-to-face, my original NLP, and there's so much value of taking yourself away from your home environment. It is a luxury, it is a treat, but it's even more powerful when you can do that and be in the space and to stay over as well. So you're really absorbing everything that's on offer. And I think it is just, it's so, so powerful. I think it's a great opportunity. And I know you're offering it at an absolutely fantastic price.
Yeah, it's almost, I can't remember exactly, but it's more or less the price that I would normally do for a practitioner training. But you've got accommodation and you've got your evening meals and you've got your breakfast and you've got this, that and the other as well. Yeah. So, yeah, it is quite cheap. So
it's a giveaway. It's an absolute giveaway. When you said, you know, the price that you could do it at, I'm like, wow, that is a giveaway. Can I come?
definitely you need to come. Yeah No, it'll be fantastic. It'll be absolutely fantastic, and more details and better details to follow when we've sorted everything out, worked out the costings, and we know exactly what we're going to do. But yeah, put it in your diaries now if you'd like to come along or contact one of us. I'm going to put all Julia's contact details down in the box below. Julia, do you want to tell us your website and where we can find you on socials?
Yes, definitely. My website's nice and easy, yourhorseisyourmirror.com. So you can find out all about me, what I do, a bit more about my history, what I've done with horses. I'm also on social media on Facebook. I am there as me, obviously, and there is Your Horse Is Your Mirror page. And I've also got two groups. So I separated the groups into Ready Steady Trek, which is specifically for Trek riders and Trek people. And equally, people, if you're interested in the sport of Trek, Ready Steady Trek is the one that you want. And the other group is Ditch the Fear, Your Horse Is Your Mirror, Ditch the Fear, Ride with Confidence. You'll find those there. But anyone, any questions, any curiosity, then just reach out. That's it.
Super. Thank you so much. I could talk.
Oh, thank you. I can talk for England. So, yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. And yeah, I've really, really enjoyed chatting with you, Tracy.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.